Hello, Life Point. Man, I am so thankful that you have chosen to join us online, and I'm excited for a couple of reasons. One, I'm a preacher, and preachers got to preach, right? And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about preaching to you today, the Word of God. I'm excited about joining together with you, although we're apart. And I just want to thank you for continuing to join online and how you've leaned in. It's been so encouraging to our staff and to myself, and thank you so much for leaning in. I'm also excited because, man, we've gotten some good news this week. We've been getting nothing but seemingly bad news for a long time, or at least, news that causes us to go, but this week we've been getting some good news. I mean, the sports teams and sports leagues are starting to kick back off, at least the pro leagues and all that kind of stuff. And then just this week, just actually this weekend, we got news that Governor Lee has given us the green light to begin meeting in some capacity within the month of May. So, man, that gets me fired up. Now, here's what I want you to know. We're not going to meet obviously this week or next week, but sometime in the next few weeks, you can begin to listen for news about when we're going to start gathering together in person, okay? And so now we're not going to come out of the gate full bore, just kicking on all cylinders like we did before with the room full and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do this in a way that is phased in a way that is as safe as it can possibly be. So be looking for all those details. You could possibly have to get online and register to come so that we can have a correct amount of people in the auditorium and in the different worship venues. And so just be looking for that. And I just shared it today because I'm excited and I just can't keep it in. All right. And so I hope you're excited too. So be looking over the next couple of weeks for news on that. And man, I'm excited about just getting together with you. Now we'll continue online as well because we know all of you won't be able to come. Some of you who are vulnerable and all that. And so, man, we're not going to stop our online or go backwards with it. All right. We're going to go forward with it and we're going to continue to do that as well. But just some things are changing for the good. I just like to talk about good news right now. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Now, today, as parents, we preach, and as I preach, last week you might have noticed that there were some things that flew in on the screen at different times. If you have children, we're going to give you some different opportunities or different ideas that you can do to engage your kids as I'm preaching. And so there might be some things to fly in on the screen. And when you see those, you can point your child to that and they can participate in a way that will be appropriate for them to learn what we're talking about, okay, and engage in worship. And so thank you for joining with us as we're in this series called He Still Holds It All. Even when the world doesn't make sense, even when things are out of control, even when, man, we take uppercuts and left hooks and we just get hit out of left field and what was that? God is still in control. He hasn't walked away. He hasn't left. He's still working. You know, this week I read about two men who literally loved baseball. And I love football, and so I resonate with them. They loved baseball. They loved it so much that they wondered, will we get to play baseball when we get to heaven? So they made a pact with each other. They said, the first one that gets to heaven, we will find out if we can play baseball, and we'll try to get word back to the other if we can indeed play baseball. And so one eventually died, and he knew the Lord, so he went to heaven. And when he got there, he was absolutely stoked out of his mind, obviously to see Jesus, but he was stoked out of his mind that he found out, yes, they play baseball in heaven, right? And so he got permission, sent word back to his buddy, and he said, hey man, I've got good news and bad news. Good news, we can play baseball in heaven. Bad news, you're pitching this Friday. I mean, you know, it's a good news, bad news scenario, and we've all heard good news, bad news scenarios. That was Joseph's life. Back in Genesis chapter 38, we jumped in last week talking about this hero of our faith, and man, the man whom God used in incredible ways to save the nation of Israel from starvation during a famine and all these things, and we're going to continue that today. And his life was one of these good news, bad news scenarios, right? I mean, his daddy loved him more than any of his other brothers. That was good news. He was his daddy's favorite. Good news for him, at least, right? His brothers hated him because of it. That was bad news. His daddy was going to turn the entire business over to him, give him the keys to his kingdom, so to speak. And that was good news. His brothers now not only hated him, they wanted to kill him, but eventually sold him into slavery to get him away as a result. bad news, right? He goes to Egypt and he is bought by a man named Potiphar as a slave. Potiphar loves him, grows to trust him so much that he gives him the keys to his kingdom, puts him in charge of everything. That's good news. Well, Potiphar's wife, as we're going to find out today, really began to crush on this Hebrew boy a little bit. And she wanted to spend some time with him, if you know what I mean, parents. And so Joseph refused to do that. And she got so angry that she lied and said he tried to take advantage of her and they threw him in prison. Bad news, right? It was like good news, bad news, good news, bad news. His life was one roller coaster. Folks, that resonates with every one of us. Life is like a roller coaster sometimes. I mean, man, sometimes you're on top of the world and sometimes you get knocked off the perch, right? I mean, sometimes, man, you live in a palace and sometimes you feel like you're in prison. I mean, that's just the way life is. And we can learn a lot from Joseph about life, from his roller coaster ride, his good news, bad news life. Last week, we learned that when you're in a pit, that pit is a part of God's plan. God is in control. Today, as we continue looking at Joseph, we're going to learn that your prison can prepare you for promotion. Your prison can prepare you for promotion, okay? So let's dive in. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 39. And we're gonna sort of skim through and talk about basically this whole chapter. So let me start reading and you join in. Chapter 39 of Genesis. Verses 1-6, we're going to start out. So parents, if you got your Bible, your kid might want to jump on your lap or whatnot. If you're single, man, get a chuggy of coffee and let's roll, all right? Let's look at this. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Basically, think about chief of police, man. He is his right-hand security dude, okay? Very, very, very trusted dude to the most powerful man in the most powerful land in the world, the most powerful nation. Egypt was the superpower at that time, and he was the head of security for the president, the Pharaoh, okay? And it says, and he was the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Remember, his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites who took him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Look at that. I want you to circle that. We're going to come back to it. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, remember, last week we learned that, folks, nothing is arbitrary. Nothing just happens. Lots of things happen in life, and we have no clue where it came from, what it's about. I mean, why it happened, we have a lot of questions sometimes. But we need to understand, according to the doctrine of providence that we looked at last week, major theme in the Bible, absolutely nothing is arbitrary. Nothing just happens. It's all a part of God's plan. So Joseph did not end up in Pharaoh's house as the slave of Pharaoh by accident or by happenstance or just because life was unfair and that's where he landed. It was all by the plan of God. It was a part of the plan. Remember, Joseph's pit is a part of God's plan, right? Your prison can prepare you for promotion. And that was exactly what was happening. You see, Joseph was going to be the VP of the entire land. He was going to be raised up to be second in command only to Pharaoh. So he needed to learn the language. He needed to learn the culture. He needed to learn the business ethic and how they related to each other. He needed to learn all those things, and this is what God was doing. He put him in this position, one degree from the most powerful man in the world, in the head of security for the land. He put him in his house to teach him these things. He was about to go to prison, but his prison was going to prepare him for promotion. But Joseph didn't know that. See, we are looking at this with in the rearview mirror, and hindsight is always 20/20, right? We know everything that Joseph is about to go through. He doesn't. And so right now he could be bitter. Man, I was on top of the world. My daddy was gonna give me the keys to the kingdom. I was gonna own the family business. I was gonna be wealthy. Man, I was gonna have servants. My brothers were gonna work for me. Now I'm a slave working for someone. I'm on the bottom rung. I was on the top rung. Now I'm on the bottom rung, right? And he could have gotten bitter. Life didn't turn out like I thought it would. Man, I'm just gonna punch a clock and do as little as I can get by with. And I'm just gonna endure this thing. But that wasn't what Joseph did. He was living in a bad moment. But what he did, he trusted the Lord. And because he trusted the Lord, he worked hard and he trusted the Lord. And as a result, here's what happened. God blessed him immensely. He made everything Jacob do successful. So much so that Potiphar not only grew to love him, but he grew to trust him. And he gave him so much favor in Potiphar's eyes that Potiphar eventually said, Joseph, man, I see that everything you do turns to gold. You've got the golden touch. Everything you do turns to gold. And notice, Potiphar realized that it was because his God was with him that this happened. So obviously Joseph wasn't taking all the credit. It wasn't Joseph. Joseph wasn't like going, look how good I am. He was living sent, and Potiphar realized that God was absolutely working through Joseph and blessing Joseph. And he said, I'm gonna give you everything I've got. You're in control of it, Joseph. Take it, manage it, because I want it to succeed, right? And listen, this is an amazing story about how God is working. Even though you might think you're in a position where you think, man, God's left me. I got demoted, right? I lost my job, my finances, my marriage, all this. You can understand that God's not left you. God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't turned his back on you, folks. He's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is working in every moment. And that's what he was doing here, right? Now, notice, Potiphar, he couldn't even spell God. He didn't know God. He couldn't spell God. But all of a sudden, the way Joseph lived got Potiphar's attention. Potiphar recognized there's something different about this guy. And he recognized it, and he said, Joseph, I want you to take my stuff. We should live in a way that everyone in our orbit, folks, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, classmates, realize there's something different about this guy. And what he realized about Joseph was there was something different, but he went further. And he went further and said it was Joseph's God. And the reason he did that was because obviously Joseph had talked about his God. Joseph was willing to live sin in every moment, okay? And so we see here, man, if you're a believer, the way you live in every moment, whether you're in the pit or the prison or the palace, you should live sin. Knowing God's in control of this, if he has me in the palace, then God has given me this position in the palace for a purpose. Right? If I'm in the pit, this pit has purpose. If you're in the prison, this prison has purpose. And I'm gonna trust God in it, and I'm gonna serve him in it. And that's what we see Joseph doing, and we see God do amazing things in his life. Now, let's go on and read verses 7-9. And it says this, and after a time, his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eye on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness? And listen how he classifies this. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here's what Moses, the writer of Genesis, says that back up in verse 6. He says that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, okay? It means he was chiseled. It means he was handsome. It means he looked like a Hebrew Brad Pitt. And man, he wore a shirt that said, welcome to the gun show, right? And that was Joseph. And he was very handsome, so handsome that Potiphar's wife had her eye on him, right? I mean, she was crushing on this Hebrew dude with washboard abs. And you know, when you're Potiphar's wife, you're wealthy. You have some power. Wealthy, powerful women, men, they tend to get what they want. She wanted Joseph. She wanted to do a little aggressive cuddling with Joseph. And so she began to seduce Joseph. She said, Joseph, what, come and lie with me. And Joseph immediately refused. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about it. Don't just fly by and just the story's the story. But think about this. Joseph is a young man in his probably at this time, he's in his late teens, early 20s. What we know about Joseph, he was probably a virgin in his late teens, early 20s, and he has raging hormones. He is with his boss's wife who's out of town. His boss's wife is powerful. She's wealthy. She is attractive. And man, she has all of these qualities. He is in this, he is in this part of his life when he's young and he could have felt like, man, I'm far away from my home. I'm far away from my family. I'm far away from my church. Life has not been good to me. Man, this is not fair. He could have had an attitude. He could have had a chip on his shoulder. And he could have said, then, I mean, what would it matter? Might as well, right? But that's not what Joe did. Joe didn't do that. Joe didn't compromise. Joe looked at her and said, no way. He said, no way. My master is absolutely, fate has given me so much favor. He's put me in charge of everything. Moses said that the only thing Potiphar worried about with Joseph in charge is what he was going to eat. I mean, what am I going to have for lunch? Am I going to have Burger King? Am I going to have McDonald's, right? And that was the only thing Potiphar worried about. And I refuse to abuse his trust. That's what Joseph said. He said, I refuse to cheapen the institution of marriage. And he said, and I refuse to sin against my God. Now, folks, that is conviction and that is strength. That is faith that God is in control. Because if he didn't have faith in that moment, if he would have waffled in that moment, he could have easily said, might as well. But he didn't compromise, right? Because he was living for something more than the moment. He was living for something bigger than himself. He could live for pleasure in the moment or he could live for purpose for eternity. And Joseph chose to not compromise. Now, she's not used to being rejected. She is not accustomed to hearing no. She's a powerful, wealthy woman, a very attractive woman, experienced woman. She gets what she wants, so she keeps on. Dogging Joe day after day after day. Joe, come on, he is out of town. He neglects me anyway. I mean, he's probably not even going to care because he is out of town so much. He neglects me, but he's not even going to find out. No one's going to know, Joseph. No one. But Joseph said, oh yeah, you think no one's going to know, but my God is going to see and my God is going to know. I refuse to do this. He kept on rejecting. Temptation was hanging on him, man, like a cheap suit. It was just dogging him, and he kept rejecting that strength from a young man. That strength. I want you to get this strength. In this moment when he felt like life was unfair. So with that layer, you got to understand the strength that Joseph had. Again, she refused to take no for an answer. So one day he was in doing something. Potiphar was out of town. The Bible says she grabbed him and she was going to force him to spend some time with her, okay? Now, this was the original Mentu moment, I guess, right? Okay, because she was going to force him to spend some time with her. He bolted, man. I mean, as soon as he knew what was going on, he jetted. He got out. He ran out of the room faster than toilet paper leaves Walmart. I mean, man, he got out, right? And folks, here's what I want you to understand. Joseph was doing exactly what we read in Scripture. Flee the appearance of evil. Run from it. He literally did what the Bible tells us to do. Run, flee from the appearance of evil. Men and women, listen right now. Students, listen. Temptation is going to come your way, students. Students, you're going to be tempted. You're going to find yourself. You might love Jesus and your girlfriend or your boyfriend love Jesus. I promise you've got hormones and you're going to be tempted. Number one, you've got to not put yourself in a position to where temptation can come to fruition, right? Make sure you keep yourself out of positions. But if you find yourself there in your temptation, you got to run. Man, you got to make a decision. I'm going to run. I'm not going to sin against my God. I'm not going to cheapen the institution of marriage. I'm not going to betray people's trust. Listen, gentlemen, I see this. We talk about these things with so many people. If you find yourself stalking him or stalking her on Facebook, Maybe you want to send an old flame. Maybe you're married. You want to send an old flame. You connect with an old flame on Facebook. And you think, man, I want to send her a message. And part of it's like, I'm just going to send. Do not do it. Run. That's your first sign. Run. Delete their friendship, right? For your sake, that's running. That's what Joseph did. Ladies, listen, you find yourself comparing him to your husband, whoever he is. You find yourself dressing in a way that you think, I wonder if this will get his attention. Will he look at this? Will he like this? Run, okay? Run, guys. You find out asking questions or talking to her, and in your mind, you're fishing. You're throwing out a hook with some bait to see if she might bite, and run. There are some decisions in your life that have profound impact on the rest of your life. Run, okay? That's what we can learn from Joseph in this situation, was run. And so Joseph did not compromise, and because he did not compromise, he stayed strong, and the reason was because he lived for more than the moment. He lived for more than the moment. He didn't live for the pleasure, he lived for purpose. Not for pleasure, but for purpose. Run, guys, run. Now, here's what happened when he took off running that day, when she had him in her sights and she was determined she was gonna get her way, because that's what she was used to doing. She grabbed him as he ran out. As he ran, his robe came off. So she had his robe in her hand. And he ran out, and he didn't try to stop and get a robe. He fleed the appearance of evil. So she had his robe. So, man, she was embarrassed. She was angry. Woman used to getting what she wants, and she come up with a plan. I'll show him. So when her husband gets home, she had his robe. Why would she have his robe? And she thought, this is a good opportunity. I've got his robe. Why do I have his robe? Because she said, hey, Potiphar, I need to tell you something. Your Hebrew slave that you bought in, that you love so much, man, he came in, and he's a player. He's a player. And he has been trying to get me to spend some time with him. He has been trying to get me, he's to seduce me. And he came in to force himself on me. I want you to know that, but I resisted him. That's what she told Potiphar. Well, now, guys, imagine you're a married man. Someone, your wife tells you that some Casanova, some Romeo comes in and he is trying to seduce your wife. I'm a married man. If someone came to me or if Amy came to me and said, so-and-so is trying to seduce me, I'm going to give that guy a $3 haircut. Okay? I mean, I'm going to want to, right? I'm going to want to give that guy a $3 haircut. I might get someone else to do it for me so I don't get in trouble. I'm going to be a little bit upset at that dude, right? That's why I think that Potiphar didn't believe her. Because if Potiphar would have believed her, I think he would have smoked Joe on the spot. He's a Hebrew slave. He had no rights, right? I think he would have smoked Joe on the spot if he believed her. But I think he really knew what she was capable of. I think he knew her character. I think he really loved Joe, and he really didn't want to put Joseph in prison. But to not do something would disgrace his wife publicly, because she's made a spectacle of this, and so he had no choice, and he put him in prison. I think he put him in prison rather than smoking, because my opinion is that maybe he didn't believe her, okay? That's not what the Bible says, but that's my opinion, that he might have not really believed her, because I think he wouldn't have been in prison if he believed her. He would have been, you know, taking a dirt nap. And so he puts Joseph in prison, throws him in prison, and so this is where Joseph is. Good news, bad news. Good news, man, when he gets to Egypt, he becomes the slave of Potiphar, who makes him, man, the manager of everything he has. You got the keys to my kingdom, right? Bad news, his wife lies. Now Joseph is in prison. Man, he's gone from the penthouse to the pit, back to the you know, a room in the palace to prison, right? And so what Joseph didn't know, and what I want you to understand, is that here is what we see, is that Joseph, his prison prepared him for promotion. Let's read in verses 22 through 39. It says this, and the keeper of the prison, the warden, put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to succeed. Now, these final verses form a bookend. Each phrase in the final verses correspond with a phrase in the opening of the chapter. God was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. God was with Joseph in the prison. Joseph found favor in Potiphar's eyes. Joseph found favor in the warden's eyes. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything. The warden put Joseph in charge of everything. Everything Joseph touched turned to gold in Potiphar's house. Everything Joseph touched turned to gold in the prison. Both of them said, "You got the keys." What we're seeing is God raising him up because God is with him in the moments that we would think doesn't make sense that hit us out of left field, right? Now, we can learn a lot from this roller coaster ride that Joseph's on about our life. We can learn a lot about living sin in every moment. We can learn a lot from his good news, bad news life. We learned a lot last week. Today, I want us to learn two quick things before we close out here. The first thing is, here's what I want us to understand, how it was. Now, you got to think about it. Joe was in a prison. If Joseph's prison prepared him for promotion, what was it about those things that we can look at in there and say, man, these are some qualities that God found in Joseph that he used to promote him to the second highest position in the most powerful land in the world? One was this. Obviously, in this story, we see that Joseph lived in the moment in a way, he lived in the moment in a way that pointed people to eternity. He didn't just live for the moment, he lived for eternity. He didn't just live for the moment, right? He lived in a way in the moment that pointed people to eternity. We see here, man, Joseph was committed to living sin in every moment, not just the good moments. If he was in the palace, he was gonna live sin. If he was in the pit, he was gonna live sin. If he was in the palace or if he was in the prison, he was going to live sin. He was going to live in a way that pointed people to Jesus, to God, to eternity, right? And so, you know, rather than the people could have seen him badmouth his brothers, but rather than badmouth his brothers, they saw him praise his God. They could have seen him play the victim, but they didn't see him play the victim. They saw him trust God to make him the victor, right? They could have seen him wallow in self-pity, but they didn't see him wallow in self-pity. They saw him selflessly serve his city. They didn't see him lay back. They saw him lean in. They saw a man of character. They saw a man of integrity. They saw with the way he lived for a different standard. They saw with the things he said, he spoke with different things, right? Folks, you have an opportunity right now. This COVID-19 has been cray-cray. It's been, I mean, there's times, as I've said, I've not been fearful, but what I've been is frustrated, right? I've been frustrated because it's like you hear this and then you hear conflicting this and all you see is just, can be negative and it can drive you to become negative. And right now, just remember how you speak is going to reveal something, right? How you speak, let people see you speak hope and not just venom. Let people see you share the gospel, not just gossip or share conspiracy theories. Let people see you serve, not be selfish. Let people see you give, not take. Let people see you lean in, not lay back. Let them see within you a hope that is there that the world might be going crazy, but they see a hope in you. And that hope comes from the fact that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, right? And his righteousness. And because of that, everything about your life's changed. And that will draw people like flies to honey, folks. Because right now, all they're seeing is just negativity. You look at Facebook and, man, you just see negativity. And, you know, when you see people, here's another little life lesson I want to share with you, okay? If you go on Facebook and all you post is criticism and negativity, people might check like. You might have a certain number of people that check like. But in their mind, they also check disrespect. People don't respect that. And you can post all that negativity and people can check like, but you're losing influence in their life if that's all you post. I'm not saying you can't post every now and then, I don't understand something, but if it's always negative, then people will lose respect for that and you lose influence. That's not where they saw Joseph. He was at a time when he could have been nothing but negative, but all he was positive. They could have seen him go off the rails, but he lived with integrity. So I challenge you to live in this moment in a way, don't waste this moment. Let people see you live in a way that says, there's something different about that man or that woman. Man, there's something different about what they post. They're positive. There's something different about, they have hope in this time. Man, let them see you rather than being critical of the moment. Let them see you be thankful for the blessings. Begin to count the blessings of the moment. And people will be drawn to that like flies. They'll be drawn to that because they'll want that. Live in every moment in a way that points people to eternity. Don't just live for the moment. Remember, God's in control of this moment. God is in control of this moment. He's in control of this moment just like he was when you were able to get in your car and drive to work, and when you were able to have an endless supply of toilet paper in the grocery store. He was in charge of that moment. He's in charge of this moment. He's in charge of every moment. Don't waste a moment. Use this as an opportunity to let people see God and how God has made a difference in your life. Live sent. Live in a way in the moment that points people to eternity. And here's the second and final thing I really want us to lean into and understand from the stories of Joseph. Joseph's life teaches that success isn't circumstantial, it's faithful. It's not about circumstances. It's not circumstantial, it's about being faithful, right? Now, folks, here's what I know. We all want to be successful. I want to be successful. I think you all want to be. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. I mean, I think we should all have a desire to be successful. Think about what the opposite of that is. I don't want to be a success. No, that's not what the Lord would have us to do. We should all want to be successful. Now, I will say this. We better make sure we have the proper definition of success, okay? Have the proper definition of success, because if your definition of success is wrong, then you're going to be like the man who spent his life climbing the ladder only to get to the top and realized it was leaning against the wrong wall. You're going to be going after the wrong goals. You're going to be going after the wrong targets, and you're going to and when you hit the wrong target, you miss, right? And so in our American view of definition, what we know is in America, our American definition of success is about money. Man, I'm successful if I've got a lot of money. I'm successful if I've got the house I want. I'm successful based on my possessions. Have I achieved? And it has to be based on what you desire, because it's so subjective, because some possessions to some people doesn't mean anything. So it's in your mind, it's like, if I got the possessions, the house, the car, if I've got the money, if I've got the position, the conquests, whatever, we build these definitions of success off of circumstantial things, okay? And so that means if I've got the house, I'm successful. If I've got the job, I'm successful. If I've got the money, I'm successful. And if that's our definition of success, if we lose our job and have to downsize our home and sell our car and our bank account drops, we're a failure. That's that roller coaster that just absolutely destroys your soul, right? That way, success is built on circumstances. Here's what we see from Joseph. Joseph, I think all of us would say, one of the most successful men in the world. Matter of fact, he was so successful, people even said, or that was around him, everything he touches turns to gold, right? He was successful. Why? Not because of his circumstances. He's one of the most successful men ever because he was faithful. Wasn't circumstantial. It was faithful, okay? Joseph, he was faithful in the good time. He was faithful in the bad. He refused. He remained faithful sexually. He refused to cheapen the institution of marriage or sin against his God who had created sex for a purpose when he had the opportunity, and no one would have known in his mind, right? No one would have known in her mind. An experienced, wealthy, powerful lady, Mrs. Robinson, so to speak, comes into his life, and he had every opportunity, and he said, nope, I'm remaining faithful. He had the keys to Potiphar's kingdom. Potiphar had some cash. He probably had cash laying around. But he gave Joseph, man, not only his credit cards, but the PIN numbers to his credit card and the passwords to his computer. He gave him everything. Joseph could have embezzled all kind of money. He was faithful. He was faithful. He had integrity. He had character. Joseph was faithful. And that one word should be your definition of success, right? That one word. You see, your success, when it comes down to the end of your life, to the last rung, please don't plan your life and build your life and get to the top of the ladder and look down and it's built leaning against the wrong building, the wrong wall. And if you're going after stuff, folks, it'll be leaning against the wrong wall. If you're going after power, money, faithful. Then this COVID-19, we're in the midst of this. And LifePoint, I want to encourage you, because here's what I I want to encourage you, right? I mean, as we preach, sometimes, man, we admonish you, and sometimes it's like, man, here's the word, and sometimes it's like, man, we're doing this, we got to stop doing this. I want to encourage LifePoint right now. I want to encourage you because we've seen some things that reveal incredible faithfulness on your part in this moment. Man, we're home. We're working from home. Man, the economy has sort of been shut down. And let me tell you, man, LifePoint, you have been faithful in your giving. You have been so faithful. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. You've been faithful in sharing worship on Facebook, because, I mean, right now, it's not like you can invite people to come with you to church, but you can invite them to watch with you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful in inviting people and sharing and liking and posting so it will go. Thank you for being faithful and leaning in and not laying back. Thank you for your faithfulness. Right now, what I want you to understand is during the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, this is a moment. Joseph was put in a moment, and his prison was a literal prison. His prison was slavery at one point. Then his prison was a literal prison. And God was using that prison to prepare him for promotion. You're right now, your home, which used to be your palace, has almost become like a prison because we haven't been able to leave it much, right? And this moment has almost been like a prison because we can't be around people. We're restricted to certain things. We can't do what we used to do. It's been almost like a prison. Folks, God can use this prison to prepare you for promotion, to prepare you for greater things in his kingdom. And what will he see when he looks at you in this moment? Will he look at you and see what he saw in Joseph, a man who has got integrity, a man who is committed to living my way, a man who has got character, a man who will remain faithful in the good and the bad, in the palace, in the pit, and in the prison? Will he remain faithful? He found that in Joseph. What will he find in you? What will he find in you? Let your prison prepare you for promotion. Let your prison prepare you for promotion by remaining faithful, by leaning in to worship, by leaning in, not laying back from your relationship with the Lord. Let this prison prepare you for promotion. You know, you may be watching right now and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't follow him as your Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, if that is you, I'm honored that you have stayed with us. I'm honored that you've listened to this message and that you're here. I don't want you to stay in that position. I want you to know the Jesus that I know. I want you to have the hope that I have. I want you to have the purpose that I have in this moment. And so, you know, we have provided a card that if you will fill it out, it'll pop up on the screen right now. It's called a Connect card. Go there and fill that out, and we will get in touch with you very soon. Matter of fact, just leave the screen right now and go do that so that you don't forget it, all right? Just go right now and do that. It's so important that we want you to know Jesus, okay? Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that thank you for being here and joining with us, but remember, your prison can prepare you for promotion. You know, right now, things seem almost like a prison for us, don't they? I mean, our home was our palace, and it has almost become a prison. We are locked in, so to speak. We haven't been able to be around a lot of people. We can't go out. We've had to stay in, and it's almost like a prison. Folks, I want you to understand, this moment, God's in control of. God is teaching us some stuff in this moment, but I hope that when God looks at you in this moment, he finds you faithful. He looks at you in this prison, and you allow that to prepare you for promotion, for God to do great things with you in his kingdom, okay? He will look at you, and I hope he finds what he finds in Joseph. He found Joseph in prison, and he found a faithful man with character and integrity who lived for more than a moment. He lived for eternity, and he lived in a way that pointed people to eternity, and success for him was about being faithful. And he was found faithful. Will God find you faithful? To whom much is given, much is required, right? And those who he finds faithful with a little, he will entrust much. How will he find you in this time? Will he find you faithful? Let this prison prepare you for promotion. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, for being in charge of this moment and every moment. Thank you that we are not people who are hopeless because the world is gone crazy. Because God, even though when it looks crazy, we know you've got it in your hand and you're in control of it. God, I pray that we would allow you to mold us in this moment and every moment. I pray that, God, we would allow our prison to prepare us for promotion, for you to do great things through our life for your kingdom. I pray that we would live our life in a direction and that we would live our life on purpose so that when we get to that top rung, we don't look down and realize that our ladder has been leaning against the wrong building, against the wrong thing, but we will look and our life will be full of success because we've been faithful. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for the hope that you give us, the hope that is only in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray.